96 Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
The Boston Bruins are playing a holiday matinee in Calgary against the Flames right now, and that game is tied as we head to the third period. Sticking with hockey, congratulations to Montpelier native and UVM product Amanda Pelkey. Team USA Women's Hockey will play for the gold medal against arch-rival Canada. That game will be played on Wednesday. The U.S. knocked off Finland 5-0 in the Olympic semifinals. Pelkey registered her second point of these assists, or these Olympics, picking up an assist on Team USA's first goal. Patriots safety Devin McCourty says that the team knew that Malcolm Butler wasn't going to start in the Super Bowl, and that's been the big controversy of Super Bowl 52 from the Patriots' perspective. But did he not know that he was going to play at all? That's still something that remains to be seen. Interesting comments at a Red Sox spring training. His ownership says the Sox have the best starting rotation when healthy in all of baseball. And, well, they also addressed J.D. Martinez, who at the time wasn't on the team, but now is. That's the breaking news. A five-year deal for the slugging outfielder. And that five-year deal contains an opt-out clause after the second year. It's a front-loaded contract. Martinez will get $110 million total, $50 million of which will be paid in the first 2 years. And the UVM men's basketball team, with a loss yesterday to Hartford, it snaps a winning streak dating back to the end of December, a 22-game win streak at Patrick Gym as well. Jacoby Ellsbury, he's a former Red Sox. Does he not have any more time left in New York? We'll get into that. Champlain Valley Game Night next, 101.3 ESPN.
Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Monday right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com. And we are always on the 101.3 ESPN app. Short show today. We go up until 6:30, and then we bring you college basketball. ACC action as our season-long coverage of college hoops continues. It'll be Miami and Notre Dame. What's coming up on the show today? We will talk about UVM's loss to Hartford. What does it mean? How should you take this loss? And we'll analyze Trabell Haynes' comments after that game. We'll get into a big positional battle at Yankee spring training. And do the Patriots have the best wide receiver group in the NFL? Well, we'll talk about that. But first, reaction to the breaking news. And the breaking news is that the Red Sox, the team that finished last in the American League in home runs a year ago, they have addressed that problem by signing free agent slugger J.D. Martinez. They do it early in the spring. The contract is a win for the Red Sox, and you really can't read it any other way. The contract is a win. 5 years, $110 million, an opt-out after 2 years for Martinez, and the contract is a front-loaded contract. If you want to get in, 802-655-6672. Let's tell you all the reasons why this contract is a win, and let's start with the obvious: money. Martinez came into this year wanting, into this free agent year wanting $200 million. He gets $110 from the Red Sox. The Sox did not back down, and you as a Red Sox fan should be appreciative of that. For an organization that's bogged down by the David Price contract, that's bogged down by the Dustin Pedroia contract, that, you know, at a point was bogged down by Pablo Sandoval, this is a team that did not bid against themselves. They did not overspend for a player that really did not have another market. So kudos to the Red Sox. Martinez wanted 200 plus. He ends up with just over 100. That's a win. Second reason this is a win: duration of the contract. Martinez wanted 7 years. He gets 5. So what does that mean? This means that you are going to get arguably what should be the best of J.D. Martinez. J.D. Martinez, we talk about this in baseball all the time. Big contracts. Albert Pujols, Robinson Cano. These contracts that are going to take the Angels and Mariners into the players' age 40-plus seasons, they are albatross contracts at some point. JD Martinez is 30 years old. He will be 31 during this season. Even if he plays all 5 years with the Red Sox, you're going to get him through age 36. And for a guy who's probably, quote, just a DH, that's exactly what you want because he can still be productive then. Nelson Cruz hit 30 home runs for the Mariners last year at age 36. You can still be productive at that age as a power hitter and as a guy who doesn't have to play a lot of defense. That is 100% a win for the Red Sox also. They're not getting him until he's 38. They're getting him until he's 36 at the max. Also, moving forward, why is this a win? Part three. This deal has a 2-year opt-out clause. Martinez can opt out after a second year. And we've started seeing this in contracts. Giancarlo Stanton has this. Yoenis Cespedes did this with the Mets as well. You have these opt-out deals, which are good for the player and they're good for the team. Because think about what's on the horizon for the Red Sox. Coming up soon, they do have to re-sign Mookie Betts, and they're going to want to do that. Betts is going to be 27 or 28 when that time comes. You'd like to think they're going to want to re-sign Xander Bogaerts. You'd like to think they want to re-sign Chris Sale after the next two seasons. You have key pieces that are going to hit free agency within the next few years. If you're a Red Sox fan, you should absolutely be rooting for Martinez to just absolutely mash in the 2 years leading up to that opt-out. Why? Because I don't really want Martinez here beyond those 2 years because I want to re-sign those other guys. I want that money going to younger players that are more diversified in their skill set. I want that big money going to Mookie Betts. I want that big money being available for Andrew Benintendi. Now, he's got 5 years left. He's not quite as close to that 2-year deal, but I want big money available for Chris Sale. No, I don't want to go crazy for Sale like I went crazy for David Price, but I want big money available for Chris Sale more than I want it for JD Martinez after the next 2 years. So I want Martinez to absolutely mash 60 homers for the next 2 years because then he won't re-up in Boston. He won't stay on his current deal. He'll try to hit the free agent market again at 32 and do this all over again and get a better deal. So I can, if he does opt out, I can utilize that money going towards those younger players that I'd rather have, like Betts, like Bogaerts, maybe a free agent that's available at that time. And I can give money to Chris Sale. That's places where I'm going to need big money because at that point, guess what? I've still got Dustin Pedroia and David Price on the books. I don't need to be paying for JD Martinez also. So I hope he crushes it. And then I hope that he leaves. Hopefully I've won the World Series in the next 2 years. He's done great. And then he leaves and that money is available. And the reason why part four, this is a win for the Red Sox, is you look at it and you say, well, Brady, what if he struggles? What if he's injured? What if he plays bad? And then you are on the hook for the life of this contract. Well, here's why this is good. The contract structure is set up very favorably to the Red Sox. The first 2 years are front-loaded at $50 million total, so $25 million apiece. So that means that if he opts in, the remaining 3 years of his deal is 3 years, $60 million. 3 years for $60 million. Now, that is still a $20 million annual, but it's not so ridiculous that it's crushing your franchise. It's not so ludicrous that it's crushing your franchise. And if he is injured at 32 and opts in, or injured at 31 and opts in, then there's still time at 34, 35 to reestablish productivity in the way that we, as I just said, Nelson Cruz has been good at that age. He's been really good at that age. Almost hit 40 home runs for the Mariners 2 years ago. So, I mean, really, there is almost nothing bad that I can say about this deal if I'm the Red Sox. And if I'm the Red Sox fans, this is a major win for me. As far as Martinez goes, it's a win for me in that I'm betting on myself. That if I go and play really well, in my first 2 years, then I'll opt out and go get really good money again. And maybe it'll be another shorter contract, but it'll be higher annual value, and I get a chance to reestablish the market. And remember that after next season, Bryce Harper will have signed a deal. It's going to be pretty darn big. Josh Donaldson will have signed a deal. Manny Machado will have signed a deal. And that really big free agent class from next year is going to be done. And Martinez could set the market again in 2 years. And you want to be in that position if you're the player. So if you're the player, you bet on yourself a little bit. And you take the chance of reestablishing the market in 2 years. This looks like a win-win on both sides. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I could not be more thrilled about what you've done here to land J.D. Martinez. 802-655-6672 if you want to weigh in. Now, what does the deal mean for the rest of the roster? Because now you've got a logjam here. You have a logjam on this roster when everyone is healthy. And maybe that's not even fair to quantify it that way, because most of the time, not everybody is healthy. But Eduardo Nunez is on this team now. He needs at-bats. Hanley Ramirez is on this team now. He needs at-bats. And I think Hanley is the most affected by this signing. And we talked about this on Friday, that the Nunez signing impacted Hanley the most, because I was pairing it with Martinez, and now that's a reality. Because here's what happens. Betts, Bradley, Benintendi, they are playing the outfield. They are playing the outfield regularly. So then what happens? Martinez is your DH. And now, at first base, you have two guys for one spot. You have Moreland probably against righties and Hanley probably against lefties. Hanley Ramirez, who has a vesting option, which means that if he gets 497 plate appearances this year, his contract, his option is exercised for next season. There's no way he hits that now. If everybody is healthy, there's no way Hanley Ramirez hits that. And maybe that's what you want as a Red Sox fan. But Hanley Ramirez, he just not only saw his playing time cut this year, he saw his guaranteed money all but guaranteed to be gone next season. Hanley Ramirez is the guy who is most severely impacted by the signing of J.D. Martinez. Again, it may not be fair to say, well, if everybody's healthy, Hanley loses the most, stands the most to lose, because not always is everybody healthy. But you are looking at a major logjam if you're Ramirez, and there's really no way out of this. I mean, even if one of the big three outfielders gets hurt, then maybe I go and put Nunez in the outfield. I keep Martinez at DH, and Hanley still can't get on the field. The only way that it works the other way is if you put Martinez in the outfield, and then Hanley becomes a full-time first baseman DH with Moreland. That's really the only way that that works in Hanley's favor. And a whole lot of what-ifs, not the position that you want to be in. Champlain Valley Game Night again here on a Monday going up until 6:30, and then we bring you ACC basketball. Notre Dame, the Irish, taking on Miami. It really rejuvenated Miami program. We don't think of Miami as a basketball program, but, you know, Celtics Shane Larkin helped get them back on the map just a few years ago. And let's talk college hoops now. UVM, man, they lose yesterday. And I think that it is a good thing for them. And I'm not usually in the camp of, well, a loss is good, but this team had become complacent. And I know people don't want to think about that, and we love UVM, and I love UVM. And, you know, I was talking to my parents after I told them that they lost, and they go, man, you sound pretty beat up about this. You sound pretty shook about it. I'm like, I am. I'm invested in this team. I wanted to see them do something really special. I wanted to see them go 38-0 when you include the conference tournaments in the last two seasons. I wanted to see that. I wanted to see history. I'm a fan of that. But this team had gotten down 17 against Albany and won. They had gotten down 13 against UMass Lowell and won. They struggled out of the gate against New Hampshire. They were down 9-0 yesterday against Hartford. They came back again and were up 8 with 6 minutes to play. You can only pull the rabbit out of your hat so many times. There was a sense of complacency that UVM, they were flirting with this loss for 3 weeks now. 2.5 weeks now since they played Albany. They were flirting with this loss. They have not put together a full 40 minutes in almost a month. So better now that you suffer that loss and suffer that disappointment than in 2.5 weeks from now when you're playing for a chance to go to the NCAA tournament, because the season ends then. It doesn't end yesterday. It's a tough loss. It's not a lesson that you want to have, but you need something to remotivate you. And I know people will say, well, Brady playing for his perfect season, shouldn't that be motivating enough? And you would like to think that, but that's not the way athletes are wired. It's not the way college kids are wired. Like, hey, we're good. We're probably going to be the number one seed. We're counting down until the tournament. And that is not the attitude that you're supposed to have, but it's an attitude that's very, very easy to have. I mean, think at what UVM did. 33 straight America East wins. 22 home wins in a row at Patrick Gym. It's their first loss in league play in two calendar years. I mean, 708 days, I think. It's the second straight year that UVM has had the top winning streak in the nation at one point. 27 of those 33 wins in the league were by double digits. That is unheard of. People should be celebrating what UVM did, what UVM has done, and what UVM still has in front of them, because it's incredible. I saw Albany go 15-1 in the America East one year, and I was like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, to see them go 15-1. And I saw them get to the tournament three consecutive years, and I loved those Albany teams. And I was proud to represent the community, and I was proud to work at a radio station that talked about them, and I was proud to work at the games and throw T-shirts in the crowd, knowing that every night that I worked, they were probably going to win. And I think about how cool that was. This is better. Outside of the three NCAA tournament trips in a row that Albany made, because we don't know that UVM is not going to hit that number, but they haven't hit it yet. Outside of that, everything UVM accomplished in the last 2+ years is cooler than what I saw at Albany. 16-0 in the America East. Perfect 3-0 in the conference tournament last year. Player of the year. Rookie of the year. Blowing teams out. Giving Kentucky a game on national television on ESPN2 to start the season. Winning a tournament in the Bahamas where you win 3 games in 3 days. I mean, it should be nothing short of celebrated what UVM did in this streak. But also, now it's a perfect chance to refocus, remotivate, and try to get back to the tournament, because that is the ultimate goal in front of you. People should not be disappointed. People should be disappointed, but not mad at UVM's loss. You should not be mad about UVM losing. Treybell Haynes, after the game, he was mad. This audio comes from our friends over at NBC5. Treybell Haynes not happy with the way that Hartford celebrated after the game.
We knew that there was a team going to beat us. We knew that they're going to be happy. So, I mean, however many games we won, it's hard to do, and every team wants to be that team to end that streak, and for them to do it here probably is even more exciting. But it's pretty disrespectful, honestly. It was one game. We're still in first place, and we're still probably going to be in first place going into the playoffs. So for them to celebrate on our court like that, like they just won something when they're in third place, it's pretty disrespectful, honestly. And hopefully that hurts the rest of the guys like it hurts me.
Look, I think you have to take those comments with a grain of salt. I like Treybell Haynes. I think he's one of the more humble, one of the more thoughtful players that I've ever been around, that I've ever covered. He's gracious with his time. He's good at the media. He's great in the community. He's good in the campus community. I think those comments are out of frustration. I think that they're a bit misguided. TBH is someone who clearly was emotional after the game. I love the end of that soundbite. I love the end where he says, I hope that motivates the rest of my teammates like it motivates me. I hope it has them as mad as it has me. I think that's great. I think that's captain's stuff. I think that's leadership. I think that's stuff you put on a bulletin board and things that, you know, kids post on Twitter as motivational quotes. I think that's great. I don't think what Hartford did in terms of celebrating was all that bad. They didn't step on the logo. They didn't wave goodbye to the crowd. Those are things that would be disrespectful. They hopped up and celebrated with their teammates, and then it was over. And for me, that's what being in college is all about. That's what pulling an upset is all about. And believe me, I am of the belief that most of the time, court storming is not justified. You should be able to beat a team in your league, especially at home. Like the other night, Wisconsin had a big win at home. I don't even remember who was against in the Big Ten. Wisconsin, a team that was in the Final Four less than 5 years ago, was storming the court because of a home win against a team in their own league. Maybe it was Michigan State. Like, that to me is embarrassing. Your program has history. Your program has resources and is supposed to be able to win at home. That to me is embarrassing. If Hartford had stormed the court after beating Vermont at home, I'd be crushing them today. But they won on the road. They won in a place that no one in the league has done in more than, you know, nearly two full seasons. And they weren't that egregious with it. I don't think what they did was all that bad. And I think that Trayvell Haynes was salty after the game, and justifiably so. But I do think he was wrong to be upset with the way Hartford celebrated. I think the act of them getting to celebrate probably hurt more than the celebration himself, but or celebration itself. But look, anything that motivates you moving into the tournament is a good thing. And I do think, as much as it stings to say, I think that loss is a good thing for UVM. Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You know, the forgotten man in New York is former Red Sox outfielder Jacoby Ellsbury. And if you want to get in, you can. Again, 802-655-6672 as we're in the last minutes of the show here before we go to college basketball. I don't know where Jacoby Ellsbury, A, finds playing time, and B, really has a spot on this roster. Money is the only thing that's going to keep Jacoby Ellsbury on this roster, as far as I'm concerned, in New York. Ellsbury talks about wanting to have playing time. He didn't want to be traded, and he wants to earn playing time this year. I see no easy path for Jacoby Ellsbury to get playing time. Look at that Yankees outfield. Brett Gardner, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. Those three, pretty good defensive outfielders. So then you say, well, Brady, what about the DH? Fine. Put one of those outfielders at DH. Leaves you one open spot defensively in the outfield. You've got Ellsbury. You've got Aaron Hicks, who started nearly all the playoff games. And you've got Clint Frazier, the stud prospect, who had a pretty good year last year when he came up. A pretty good impact on that lineup. There is not a lot of room there. You got three guys vying for one spot. I mean, Hicks is the better defensive player. He's the better runner. He's got the far better arm. Frazier runs better now, I would say, than Ellsbury, and is a far better offensive player. He's also right-handed, which gives you, continued more dynamics in that outfield. Hicks can hit left-handed. I don't know where Ellsbury plays. No, he's got 3 years, $68 million left on his deal. That's what keeps him on this roster, but it's a real shame that Frazier's probably going to have to start the year in AAA just because of Ellsbury's money. Hicks is a better outfielder. Ellsbury, A, is off injured, and B, isn't all that productive. Last year, he had 22 steals, and that's the best thing that he did. That was good. 22 steals last year for Jacoby Ellsbury was good. But I don't really know how Ellsbury fits into this roster, because to me, he's not. If you're going to put an outfielder out there to play center field, I'm going with Aaron Hicks before I'm going with Jacoby Ellsbury at this point. I mean, that is not what I want to see if I'm the Yankees. It's Jacoby Ellsbury starting regularly in center field. I don't think that Ellsbury's got a clear path to playing. If I'm the Yankees, I would trade him tomorrow. But with 3 years, $68 million, I don't know that there's any suitors out there. We talk about the Red Sox potentially being stuck with J.D. Martinez, 3 years, $60 million. You could be the Yankees, 3 years, $68 million for 34-year-old Jacoby Ellsbury. That's what those mega contracts did back in the day. Another reason why to love the Martinez signing. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll get out of here. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. College basketball's next, 101.3 ESPN.